Once upon a time, El Nino was a joke, a weather joke.
I am El Nino. All other tropical storms must bow before El Nino.
There was nothing baby Nino about the late and huge Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live back in 1997. But today, El Nino is the atmospheric blowtorch of climate change. It drives air and energy across North America, making warmer than normal winters in the Midwest and Northeast, tornadoes in Texas, rain in Los Angeles, extreme cold in Florida. Higher temperatures in the Mississippi Valley are causing massive flooding in Illinois, Missouri, and points south. As catastrophic as global warming is predicted to be, though, El Nino is actually doing the U.S. economy some favors right now. Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for WNYC News. Charlie, welcome.
Hello.
Now, the current El Nino has tied the strongest previous El Nino on record, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and appears to have peaked, according to this week's data. What is the track record of El Nino for the U.S. economy at this point?
Well, what they have found, or there was a study that was done just recently by the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, that looked at the impact of previous El Nino cycles. And what it found that at least in the U.S. about a year out from the El Nino, because it really has lasting effects, that the economy, the U.S. economy, got a boost of about a half a percentage point. It's not a huge amount, but it's statistically significant enough that they thought that it was interesting to sort of point that out. And economists at JP Morgan Chase also did kind of their own calculation and came up to a very similar sort of number. So, you know, this is something, as you pointed out, the weather is going to be obviously different in different regions, and some will benefit more than others. So it could be somewhat regional effect, but when you look at the totality, there may be some benefits to the U.S. economy over the year.
A half percent net. Now, is it mostly in winter abatement kinds of phenomenon that keep the cold weather away?
Well, there's kind of in three areas you could look at. There's agriculture, where you might have crops in the Midwest where it's a little bit warmer, so therefore you have a longer growing season, you have more crops that are produced. That's really good for a lot of grains and cereals. But then it could be a little bit of a downside in areas like Florida where there could be colder weathers, as you mentioned, and that could lead to freezes for citrus crops, or we get a lot of our tomatoes in the winter from that part of the country, and so there might be some concerns there. Another area is construction, especially in the Northeast where normally you have bad weather. And you're not out building homes and apartment buildings. If the weather is much milder, then you could see more construction happening in January and February. And while that may be construction that could happen later in the year, at least that means people are employed and they are working and getting salaries at a time when maybe there might be a bit of a slump. And then I'd say the final area would be consumer spending. You know, if the weather is nice, just think about what it was like back here in New York in December.
So crazy. 70-degree December weather.
People are outside. They're maybe going shopping outside versus staying at home. They're going to restaurants. And that's a big thing. Like, it's not like you can a restaurant can recoup the fact that you didn't go out to dinner last night. So when you come to dinner at my restaurant tonight, you'll buy two meals. So that's a good thing that people are out and spending. And you also
wait a minute. The street vendors for scarves and winter hats. Well, they took a hit.
Those are people who do take a hit. And we saw this with Macy's announcing that they are laying off a lot of people, that they said their sales were really bad. And they blamed it in part on the fact that there was warm weather, so people weren't out buying coats and scarves. You know, one thing I'd also point out is that with these warmer temperatures, it means you don't have to heat your home as much. You don't have to spend as much money on heating oil or on natural gas to keep your house warm. And so that can be good for consumers as well, too. They have more money in their pocket. And it means just prices in general are lower because it's not being consumed. So these are some benefits. You know, the downside, of course, is if you run a home heating oil business, you may not be getting as much work. You know, someone pointed out to me, if you're in the car repair business, you may not have as many repairs happening if there's not as much snow on the road and people are getting into accidents.
Selling road salt, that would be bad.
But bad.
So cold weather in Florida would have to be bad during the growing season for citrus, I would think. What about the drought in the Southwest? Is that driven by El Nino, or because of rains in Los Angeles, is it possibly ameliorated by El Nino?
From what I have seen in talking to people, the rain that's happening there, and part of the problem is that the drought has been so severe, some really severe storms that come too quickly could lead to landslides, could lead to mudslides, a big concern happening there. And is it consistent over time? Can the ground really absorb that, the water that's coming in?
So you get moisture, you get mud and instability in the topsoil,
right.
but you don't get the aquifers replenished below the subsurface.
I mean, they're not going to complain. They need the rain, right. and they're hoping to get more. It's just sort of that balance. And one thing that's been interesting to see is the past couple of years, the snowfall has been really bad in the Sierra Nevadas, in Utah, in the mountain regions of the United States. This year, it's been really great, and in part because of El Nino. So you're seeing a real uptick in skiing activity and snow activities in that part of the world. But the downside is here in the Northeast, where it has been much warmer, it's been really difficult for snow to even to use the man-making machines to create snow. So they've really been hit in places like New Hampshire and northern New York, where there are ski resorts. So, you know, on all these things, it's sometimes the specific area you have to look to see what's affected. But overall, there could be a slight benefit from the storm, at least something positive to take away from it.
Incrementally, does that put people less in a state of urgency about global warming, do you think, in the United States? Or does it have no effect on the sort of political sense of global warming being an urgent problem?
I think, you know, El Nino in and of itself is not a global warming thing. It is a regular climactic event that happens. So I think the question would be, does it change people's point of view if they see these warm temperatures in December, which may actually be related to El Nino and maybe not necessarily to climate change? Does it actually make people think, oh, wow, maybe this is climate change. I should pay more attention to it. I think all of it sort of goes into people's calculations about how much they should worry about this or not.
Charlie Harmon is business and economics editor for WNYC News. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.